Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Andy Brandt Bernard,
co-host Catherine Brandt,
and
Alex Rasmussen.
We'll be in whenever. Mm-hmm. Oh, now she sounds like Mickey Mouse.
It's really a little bit. Really.
That
nice.
Was a very bad Alex imitation.
Yeah, so okay, a woman doing a woman impression doesn't usually work.
No.
Yeah, there you go. We saw this on the morning show, and I got to run by you guys because I don't know how they would have found this out. What this is all about. You guys know what Axe body spray is, right?
I sure do.
Okay. You know what that is, Catherine?
I do. I remember all the junior high school students when Andy was a teenager were dousing themselves like it was their job.
I don't know how they found this out, but we talked about it in the morning show. I want to ask you guys, too. Axe body spray prevents sheep from fighting.
Well, they probably don't want to go anywhere near each other because it smells bad to them.
My guess is that it's something about pheromones. It probably blocks pheromones because it's so very strong. It's like when I used to have a stallion and I used to take him to horse shows, you put Vicks Vapor Rub in his nostrils so he can't smell the mare's mistress.
Oh. There you go.
Yep.
I suppose that must be what it is then.
Yep, Farmer Catherine. She knows.
Mm-hmm. How would they find out that Axe body spray is what keeps sheep from fighting, though?
Probably because the stinky shepherds decided to wear Axe body spray.
Yeah, maybe.
And then found out that their sheep were being nice to each other.
You may be right. And this is not good for the Pepsi-Cola company. Pepsi is recalling a zero-sugar product because it was actually chock-full of sugar.
Well, that's a big manufacturing flaw.
But I mean, how does that happen that your sugar-free is full of sugar?
Somebody didn't update the ingredients list for the factory, I guess
that must be what it is, because I don't understand how you could make a mistake like that.
200 cases of sugar-free Schweppes ginger ale had full sugar.
All the diabetics are like, thanks.
No, thank you.
Try to kill me.
Yep.
I'm in the hospital because of you, but other than that.
Not good.
Not good. So what else is in the news? What's going on?
What else is in the news? I don't know. Didn't see the news this morning. Nope. But I was going to talk about something. I don't remember
then. That's really great.
I had a really good thing to talk about.
That's great. You don't know. We had something to talk about, but I can't remember what it is. So what do you remember what it had to do with or anything?
Everybody knows I'm not a jailbird anymore.
No?
What?
Well, Did I talk about this yesterday that I had to go on a Zoom meeting?
No. You talked about
Zoom
the fact
court?
That you got a ticket and you had
that's
to go to court.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
That's
why I
wanted to. Okay, so if anybody has to do. Okay, so I got a parking ticket, which was 100% bogus.
It was.
It was only $38, but I'm like, I'm not paying this. So I went on the website when I looked at the ticket, and it said that you had to send in all this proof. So I used an app. The app had the time. The app had the license plate number and the meter. I took pictures of the meter. I did everything to prove that I was not supposed to get a ticket. And when we came out, there was still 22 minutes left on the meter. So I was like, I don't understand how anybody could get a ticket when there's 22 minutes on the meter. But anyway, I got one, and I'm like, I'm not paying this. So I sent it in thinking that that would be the end of it.
Right.
And I'm like, it's just some photocopies, you know. And if the app isn't working, they should know. Because if everybody just keeps paying and paying and paying and the app isn't working, then, you know, it's not fair. So anyhow, so I keep getting these notices that they're raising the fee and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I sent in all of this stuff. Well, almost a month later, after they would have doubled the fee, they sent me a notice to appear on a Zoom pre-trial.
Pre-trial.
So I'm thinking, what does this mean? So anyway, so I get on there. I've never done any of this stuff before. I've never had a ticket that I was going to deny and all of this. Everybody who was in traffic court was on the Zoom call.
Yeah, right.
And this is a tip. If you ever need to go on a pretrial hearing thing like this, the earlier you log on, even if you don't go near your computer, you'll be the first one in line.
Right.
Because I logged on, of course, 2 or 3 minutes before, thinking that they're not going to want everybody sitting there in a waiting room on Zoom. But anyway, so small tip, if you ever have to go into a Zoom court situation, get on early so you'll be the first one. So after listening to people with overly tinted windows, and usually it was handicap parking spots,
right,
that they weren't supposed to be in, parking in no loading zones for too long, or loading only zones for too long, blah, 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 blah. I finally get on there 35 minutes later, and she says, oh, I see you sent in all of your evidence. Your case is dismissed.
Well,
and I'm like, why didn't they just, when they got the stuff?
Yeah, yep.
Because apparently she had emailed some people.
But not you.
That they had, their cases were dismissed. But not me. And not this other guy that had the same thing happen to him. He said, the app wasn't working. I paid. She's like, oh, yeah, I see that you sent in all of the paperwork. Why didn't they just dismiss it in the first place?
Why didn't they just call and say it's dismissed?
Why waste everyone's time?
Email even.
Just an email.
Yep.
I mean, as soon as they got the stuff, they could have just, some clerk could have rubber stamped it, said it's dismissed, and off we go. And an email sent to me. I don't know.
Now, Andy, here's why I think your mom got the ticket. Because even though there were 22 minutes left on the meeting when we got out there, the one difference in the car was it had Minnesota plates. And I think there are certain people that will give you a ticket knowing, well, they're not even from here. They'll just pay this because they don't want to come back here.
Well, actually, if I was leaving the state and I was never coming back, I would never pay it.
Well, yeah, who would pay it if they're just going to leave?
Yeah, if I was never coming back to the state.
Yeah, they're not going to extradite you to Florida to pay a parking ticket. So it's like, yeah, you're just going to be like, no, screw that. I'm out of here.
Exactly. I would think most people would do it that way. But anyway, so it was just like a stupid thing. And I was like, well, maybe I should just pay the $38. But I'm like, no. And the other thing is, if there's some meter man, meter maid running around, meter person, whatever we call them today,
right,
parking violations officers, if there's somebody just running around giving tickets and not even checking the app, the more people that present their case, maybe they would look at this person and say, you know what, I think you're kind of lazy and you're giving people tickets that don't need tickets.
Yeah, you'd think.
You'd think, but I guess I'm hopeful that there might be some efficiency in government.
Alex has joined us. How are you doing?
I'm here.
You found the sour cream?
Oh my gosh, that took way longer than it needed to. I'm like, I need a few things from Target. I need protein powder. I need sour cream. I need oat milk. And there was one more thing. And I was like, this will be quick. And I'm wandering around looking at every dairy item except sour cream. You got cream cheese over here. You got ricotta over here. You got shredded cheeses and sliced cheeses over here. You got cottage cheese over here. Sour cream was between orange juice and pre-made cookie dough.
Why would that be?
Great question.
I was telling her before, it's you. They want you wandering around so you'll buy more stuff.
Well, I suppose, yeah.
It's true. Oh, cookie dough. That looks good.
Impulse buys.
Yeah, impulse buys are huge.
Yes, I did do some impulse buys, but it's things that we, in the spring, in the dollar section, they always have organic seeds, like sunflowers and tomatoes and herbs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the kids really love, they come in like little egg carton things or individual little teeny tiny pots. And this time it's like a 6 egg carton thing. And the kids really, it's super easy. And so I was like, oh, I'll get those because we always do those every spring. And then I got some quinoa chocolate things because I love them. And I saw them and I was like, I will
do you. Are you able to grow anything in the back with the rabbit situation?
So I tried to plant
Because I can't grow anything.
I tried to plant sunflowers last year on the side of our garage because it's just like sun mania over there. And it's
like that.
Pretty ugly and sad. You don't really see it. Like our neighbor is the only one that sees it, but nobody else sees that part of our garage. And I planted them too early and the bunnies ate them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to plant them this year and then we'll keep them on our deck because I'm like, cute little sunflowers on our deck will be fun because we get a lot of sun on our deck for like a good amount of time. And then once they're big enough, I'm going to try to transplant them and see what happens. And if not, it was $2 from Target for 6. So,
yeah.
And then tomatoes, both my kids inhale tomatoes all the time. So I'm like, and they're organic seeds. So I was like,
wonder where they got that from.
Bop is, since he's been on Livia, he's been eating
a lot of tomatoes.
Yes.
Grape tomatoes.
Do you guys go to Trader Joe's? Do you shop at Trader Joe's?
I do when we're in Minnesota, but there's not a Trader Joe's. Okay. It's very handy here.
Never mind. Because there's these tomatoes called sprinkles, I think is what they're called.
And they're the teeny-weeny ones?
They're teeny-weeny. And the kids just like handful them into their, they're like, these are the best tomatoes. I'm like,
it's really sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My little tomato plant, it took a beating in a windstorm.
Oh.
But I trimmed it back, and it's flowering again.
It's really good. Those are really good tomatoes, too.
Well, that's
good. It was such a happy little plant, and then we had a bad windstorm, and it was just like, forget it. I don't want to live anymore.
I know. I was given a fiddle fig from my friend's mother. She was like, it's not happy with me. It's just dying. It's dropping leaves all the time. It was huge. This thing had to be expensive when she bought it. And she was like, I don't want it anymore. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it, by the time I got it, it only had like 6 leaves left. And it's, like I said, humongous. And they're all on the top.
Yeah.
And I watched a video of this woman, and she's like, how to help a sad fiddle fig, because it's not going to grow anything new from the bottom if you just leave it as is. It'll all just grow new from the top, which that's what's happened. It's happy with me. It hasn't dropped any more leaves, and it's growing more, but everything's up top. So I'm like, everything beneath is dead. And she's like, you just hack away at it. You cut everything off, all the new growth, everything. So then it will sprout from the bottom, and I'm like, I'm scared, but I think I'm going to do it.
Have you seen when you're on Instagram or anything, that app that you pointed at a plant and it's like, add milk, add sugar.
Yeah, cayenne. Yeah.
Basil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's kind of cool. But
I don't know if it's like real or not, though. Like, does it actually work?
I don't know.
Because I've never heard of any, like, I follow a lot of plant people. Well, not a lot. I follow a few plant people that put a lot of information out, and they never are like, just pour milk into your plant. Like, they never, I don't know.
Well, and the one with sugar, I'm like, well, then you're going to be invaded with ants, and then you'll
100%.
Have a whole
other
problem.
100%. You're going to have bugs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm trusting.
I just find that you can have a plant in one corner of a window and it's happy and you move it to the other side and it will die within a week. It just you just gotta
depending on the plant.
Like.
Depending on the plant. It's like it's like, oh, I forgot to put it 1 centimeter to the left and now it's dead.
Yep.
Certain
it's
plants.
Meanwhile I've got a cactus that's coming up on it's over 20 years old now.
Oh yeah, cactuses
and
are
no, it
still
hasn't
going.
Grown. It still hasn't grown more than maybe an eighth of an inch all that time.
It's never gonna grow. It's just it's a static entity.
It's so weird. Are you sure it's alive? It's not just petrified?
It's alive.
Okay.
Some.
I think I gave that to you when you lived in college.
It was before that. You gave it to me when I got back from the hospital.
Oh, I was like low maintenance.
Yeah,
okay.
From my Crohn's thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. That's
that
when
all
I got
those
it.
Years?
It's, I still have that cactus. Yeah, we had a window repair guy. He opened the window and broke the big cactus in half.
Oh my
God! After all that time.
Well, so we toothpicked the cactus back together, and it healed up.
It did.
It's okay again. Yep.
Really?
Interesting.
It's an immortal, invulnerable cactus.
Yeah, they're in Minnesota, for some reason, cacti will grow in the weirdest spots, like in a rock garden facing the south. Mm-hmm. You'll see, like, over at Lake Harriet Rose Gardens.
Well, the south cactus is where the sun is, so.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't understand how a cactus can survive our winters at all, like, ever.
I don't know how they propagate. I'm assuming they have seeds.
I mean, they don't grow nicely, and they're not pretty, but you can grow cacti if it's the right conditions.
Well, and like succulents are
cactus, they a form of cactus?
I think. I wonder. Use cactus soil in them. And
They're like cacti, but are they actually?
I feel like they're, I don't know.
We need a botanist today.
Need a botanist.
I'm listening to a book about a botanist.
What?
I'm listening to a book that has a botanist in it.
Oh.
You mean it's a fictional thing?
Yeah, it's a novel.
Oh.
It's a novel.
Is that Mrs. Somebody Drives to Spain?
No.
What?
Okay. I'm reading a book called Now That You've Said That, Mrs. Quinn's Ride. Oh my God. Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame is what the book is.
Alex says, I'm reading this book, Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame, and I don't know if I was in the car with her or whatever. I couldn't hear, so I'm like, Mrs. Quinn drives to Spain? And the kids started laughing their asses off. Mrs. Quinn drives to Spain? What? That's not right.
It is not right.
They must have said that 400 times. They thought it was hilarious.
Oh, and like they see the book, you know, just like out because I'm reading it and whatever. So it's just like floats around the house, and they're like, "Is that Mrs. Quinn Rides to Spain?" You guys.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
There are succulents in the cactus family, but not all succulents are in the cactus family.
Okay. Of course not, because nothing is.
There's 800 trillion types of succulent. So,
perfect.
What does succulent actually mean?
It's a kind of plant. They tolerate dry conditions because they hold water. They've got like chambers.
It's a very like loose definition of plants. It's basically any plant that has like you know an aloe plant, how it's all thick and like gel filled. Mm-hmm. Anything that has that basically is a succulent. Any plant that stores a lot of water in it somehow is a succulent.
But all cacti do that too. They store water.
Not all of them.
Jelly.
Yeah, not all of them are like that. Like those spider cactus or whatever.
Spider cactus.
You know, they're like thin and branchy.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't do that.
Oh, okay. I thought everything did.
But I don't know. A lot of cactus are succulents.
Thin and branchy.
Ah, like cephalocleistocactus.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say that.
We all know that. For sure.
We need new information.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Cactuses only exist in a very small part of America.
Yeah, the desert, right? Yeah.
Well, but I mean, like, that's the entire world. That's all they live in. It's like this little patch of this one country.
Oh, really? They do it in all countries?
They don't exist in any other country, not natively.
They don't?
They
really?
Don't?
I didn't
that's
know that.
What I always heard.
Huh. I would think that they'd be in Africa or South America.
You'd think, yeah.
In any arid area.
There are spiny succulents in other countries, but they're not cacti. Huh.
Really?
Spiny succulents.
That is new information. Did not know.
All you got to do is listen to the show with the family, and you learn so much. There's no question about it.
Things.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
So we got succulents covered. We got sandwiches covered. We got
sandwiches.
Can we talk about sandwiches? Maybe not.
I don't.
Maybe
know.
I was just thinking about a sandwich.
I think we talked about sandwiches.
I was gonna say I don't remember any
about sour cream
sandwich.
Sour cream.
We did talk
we
about
talked
sour
about
cream
that
because my daughter is 75% sour cream.
You know, one thing I love about Fawny so much is that every time you call and you do FaceTime, Fawn is always doing tumbling in the background.
She sure is.
Well, of course.
She's cartwheel.
No, that's how Ethan is now, too. I'll be talking on the phone, and his thing is so you'll be sitting on the couch talking, and his thing is to jump over you repeatedly. He'll come up to you
while you're
and
on
just
the phone.
Dive over you and like land on the couch on the other side and then get up and dive over you again. And, of course, he doesn't always make the dive, which, you know, makes it a little difficult to talk on the phone.
I'm sure you guys, you're closer to child age than I am by far. Now it's like going up and down stairs. Your brain just doesn't tell your feet what to do as well when you get older. It just doesn't. I mean, it's not like you have to, like, concentrate on every single step. But, like, skipping down the steps, there's no way I would ever even attempt to do that anymore. Ever since I had
skipping down the steps? I would never skip down steps.
I used to be able to skip up the steps, run up the steps, do all this stuff, and now it's like, make sure you don't fall down because you might hurt your knee replacement, you know?
Huh.
So it's like it's a whole different wiring system. I remember being a kid and you've got that weightless, boundless energy feeling. Yeah. And the older you get, the more that kind of
Well, I mean, they are weightless. Ethan weighs 36 pounds. It's like, even if he falls, that's not a whole lot of weight to fall.
Yeah,
and he also is only barely 3 feet tall. So it's like, you know, when you're twice the height and six times the weight of that kid, a fall's a lot harder.
Yeah, I just remember being able to ride my bike endlessly for miles and miles and miles and not really feel anything, you know, just not the way it is anymore.
That's the thing about being a relatively large species is it takes a lot of energy to move you.
It's true.
Think about like all the really big species, like, you know, elephants and whales and stuff like that. They don't exactly move fast unless they really have to.
They do not.
That's true.
Yeah. It's inertia.
All right, I got to bring this up from the Wall Street Journal because this makes me very, very sad. Americans throw away up to $68 million in coins every year.
Throw away?
It says they throw them away. Here is where they all end up.
Oh.
I would never throw away a coin.
Well, wishing fountain.
But I mean.
No, but the people who own the fountain take the coins and deposit
them. That's true.
Yeah.
$68 million a year, though? I mean, my God.
It's a lot of coins.
That seems
it goes to the homeless guy in the corner that I see every day.
It says, at a waste management facility in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, workers load incinerated trash into industrial machinery that separates and sorts metals, then sends them to basically get hosed down. the reward, buckets and buckets and buckets of quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. Americans toss as much as $68 million a year worth of change, according to ReWorld, the sustainable waste processing company, is on a treasure hunt to find it. The company says that 7 years since it started the effort, it has collected $10 million worth of coins. I assume they're thrown into fountains, aren't they?
Well, no, but people, like I said, in fountains, they don't get thrown away. Whoever owns the fountain collects them.
Right. Like in Disney World, we went into the, it's a small world. Yeah. And that's, you know, water ride. Right.
Full of
coins. Tons of coins all over the place.
I remember I asked somebody that worked at It's a Small World last year what they do with all the coins, and she was like, we collect, like somebody goes in and collects them every so often. And I remember asking her how much money it was, and she told me, and I forgot. So you're welcome
for
that
information. What was it, like $1 million, something like that?
I don't know. It was a lot of money.
God, isn't that amazing? They just throw it away, throw it in there.
Yeah. People like to, I mean, that's like a tradition in Italy to you make a wish into the fountains, throw the coin over your shoulder. And
so you can return to Rome.
So anytime anybody goes to Rome, they're throwing coins in the fountain.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that where the whole idea of three coins in a fountain came from?
I don't know what
three
you're speaking
Three coins?
Of.
That's a movie called Three Coins in a Fountain.
It is?
You're right, it
Look
is.
It up.
1954.
There you go. What's it about, Andy?
It's about three five. Coins in a fountain.
In a fountain, yes. I'm very shocked that that's the answer.
I've never
What a plot. What a plot
never.
Twist.
It is about, it's three American women working in Rome, and then stuff happens.
Oh.
What do you mean hijinks? Stuff happens?
But yeah, it's the fountain in question is the Trevi Fountain.
Oh.
So they throw coins in there, and then each of them finds love, I guess. Or,
I would say the whole Trevi Fountain thing is,
Yeah.
You know why I know about the Trevi Fountain?
No, I don't.
Mario is missing on the Super Nintendo.
Sure.
Not from my photos from my trip?
No.
Well, absolutely. Mario is missing happened a lot earlier than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
God, unbelievable.
I mean, I know people that just hate change. They will not carry it. They will not spend it.
I don't spend it or carry it, but I bring it home and give it to Ethan, and he puts it in his piggy bank, which he loves.
Oh.
But I've always, like, collected it and then bring it to one of those coin counting
things
or bring it to the bank or something.
Or I'll tip, just... or I'll, like, sometimes, especially before we had Ethan, what I would do is I'd be carrying around change in my pocket, especially in the winter when it's a coat and you have so many pockets that you can just put change in there and not care about it.
Right.
And then every so often when it got heavy enough, the next tip jar I saw, I just put it all in there. Just be like, here you go. Here's your jackpot.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, it was probably only worth, like, you know, $6 or $7, but still.
Yeah. $6 or $7 they didn't have before.
Exactly. Yep, that's what I do. I'd never throw it away. That was a joke on Frasier, actually. Roz says, Frasier's complaining about money, and Roz says, this from a guy who throws away his change. And he says, if you had seen that cashier's cuticles, you would have done the same.
Oh, God! Jesus!
Ew.
I hate that.
Oh, so there's a reason to throw away change sometimes, I suppose.
Jesus. That's really sweet.
Well, you should check everything for wheat pennies. There's some wheat pennies that are worth like $10,000.
Are they
gluten
free?
And there's a certain nickels and certain quarters that you should look out for.
Okay, I have a question for you guys.
What?
Did you think I would ever agree with John Fetterman on anything?
Your choice
is
of
John Fetterman.
Clothing, yes.
Is, yeah.
You don't know who John Fetterman is?
No. Is he the brain damaged guy?
Yeah, he's the dumpy, frumpy senator, I think. He's a senator, isn't
he? He's Senator Grog.
Yeah, he's a senator in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, he's frumpy, dumpy guy.
But he came forward yesterday, and I was very, very proud of him as an American. He came forward yesterday and said he's sick to death of hearing about death to America, death to Jews, death to Palestine. He said he's sick to death of it, and why we allow that in a country he does not understand. I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah, ever since he came back from his stroke, I've been thinking that he makes more sense now.
He does. You're absolutely right. He had a stroke, and he makes more sense than he used to.
You're recalibrated. So,
there you go.
I think
reboot.
I think there was a reboot.
No question. Well, one of the headlines today, Columbia University president testifies before Congress about anti-Semitism on campus. Now, how did this happen? Now, I'm basically asking, you know, all three of you this. but certainly the younger people, where did all this anti-American, anti-Semitism, where is this all coming from?
It's because it's rewarded.
It is rewarded how?
It's, well, if they blame everything on white skin, then they get everything they want. Jews have white skin. Americans overwhelmingly have white skin. There you go.
That's true.
It's that simple.
Yep.
It's because of skin color.
Yep.
Yeah.
People are that stupid.
It's pretty transparent at this point.
It's a simple fact that if you call a white person racist, usually they're going to give you what you want.
That's true. They cave in.
Yep. They're so scared of being called racist that they'll do anything you ask. So that's what people do.
You know what I love about that the most, though, is I love these people from these magnificent neighborhoods that know all about racism and this and that. You have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
No.
You've never been near it. You've never dealt with it. But you're an expert on racism.
And they wrote a paper on it one time in
it's just
second
such bullshit,
year, so now they're experts.
You've never seen racism, because if you did, you'd know exactly what it's all about.
It's just like, it's very interesting on social media how many people are experts at Palestine, experts of Israel, experts on all kinds of, topics that they, they read a headline yesterday and now they're all experts. So it's just the world we live in.
Oh, I got a text message. Apparently, Columbia University is being blamed for the spread of claiming anti-Semitism, anti-this, anti-that. Apparently, they love to chirp about anti-everything at Columbia University. I did not know that.
Chirp about anti-everything.
Yeah, everything sucks. Everything's horrible. It's racist. It's anti-Semitic. It's this. And it's like, Jesus.
Another thing you've got is that a lot of universities make professors publish.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's easier to write a book or a paper about stupid crap that's not even verifiable than it is about something intelligent that actually takes knowledge and ability. Like a mathematics paper, is hard to write. I went to the store and somebody was racist against me is not hard to write.
Yeah, true.
So, if that's the kind of thing they're looking for, then that's pretty easy to provide.
But here's what I understand. Maybe they're not racist. Maybe you're an asshole.
Well, there is that.
I mean, they've never considered that part. Maybe you're being a prick and it's got nothing to do with skin color.
It is possible.
I just don't understand how people can't separate any of that stuff. It's racist. You've never seen racism. You don't know what the hell you're even talking about. But everybody's an expert.
It's kind of like the new age way to raise children is to never tell them that they're wrong about anything.
Oh,
and if they rage, it's because they're either hungry, tired, or sad about something.
Mm-hmm.
So you excuse the behavior because there's probably some reason why they're acting the way they're acting. And that's kind of what we're doing with racism. We're making an excuse for people to act the way they're acting instead of how do we fix this? It's like, well, of course they're acting like this because there's systemic racism. They're mad about whatever, history. It doesn't get anybody anywhere except for more resentment and people to be afraid of engaging with them in a real manner because there's nothing you can actually put your finger on and say, this is the problem, this is the solution. It's all sort of this ethereal way of thinking. And it's the way everybody is now.
But I understand.
They use words that don't make sense.
No, they use words that don't make sense. And I will tell you something else. And, there are people that are much deeper in it than I ever was. But I saw and experienced things as a child. You want to talk about racism, we can sit and talk about it sometime. You people have never seen true racism. Just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't necessarily mean it's your skin color. You might be a pain in the ass. Do you ever think of that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, people are shooting each other constantly in Minneapolis and in the south side of Chicago, and it's usually the same skin color. It doesn't mean that they're racist against each other, right?
Apparently,
there's something else going on.
Apparently, it's being taught a lot in our college system that everything is racist.
Yes, but it's true.
But why would they teach that? Why would they teach hatred?
Like I said, it's easy.
Yeah, but it's hatred. You're causing problems here.
They think that somehow it's, you know, because everybody's mean, and if everybody would just stop being mean, all the problems will go away.
I would agree with that. Why are you so damn angry? Why are you so unhappy? I got to be honest with you. Since I hopped on social media, because I got off it 12 years ago because I hated it so much. Since I've been back on social media for about a month and a half, people could not be nicer.
Well, you had a whole different circumstance in those days. You had a group, a core group of people that were hell-bent for, you know, blood. So
yeah,
they were making life a misery for everyone.
I suppose that's true, but I mean, I don't see any of that anymore. And I talked to you guys about this before, that apparently they block some of that now, which they didn't used to do.
Oh yeah, if I even get a whisper of somebody saying something mildly obnoxious on my site, I just block or mute them. And I usually look at their page, and it's usually like, you know, this guy is kind of weird. So I just block them. I have no time for it.
But see, I think that's a wonderful thing, and I don't know if it's just Facebook or if it's all of them that do it. Because I've heard that X does not block any hatred or anything like that, so I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be on that.
I think they do, like, violence. I believe.
If it's illegal, they'll get rid of it, yeah. But
I believe that they're one of the only platforms that actually worries about pedophilia and things like that. They do try to get rid of the, you know, trafficking. I mean, it's, you know, it's a huge multi-billion-dollar industry.
Dude, a little tired.
Trafficking people, so it pops up constantly.
Yeah. Listen to him snoring back
there. I know.
There.
I mean, they're trafficking people across the border and putting them into slavery, and nobody seems to give a flying fig about it.
Sure don't.
Well, and I don't know the name, and I don't want to use the name, but yesterday Mom and I were talking about something, and she was talking about some politician and the fact that people are encouraging pedophilia, and I said, that's not true, and I looked it up.
Oh, there was a Minnesota law passed redefining pedophilia or something like that.
Right.
You can look that up. Finke, F-I-N-K-E, or Fink, whatever her name is, drafted it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying that that is normalizing pedophilia, but apparently it's just, changes its category.
I remember hearing about this last year.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the law, and I thought it was very suspect, but I don't remember what the language used was.
Yeah, because the new law is not suspect. It does not support pedophilia in any way, shape, or form.
Apparently, the language is a little loose, and so they did put an amendment in it because people were very upset about it, saying that this does not decriminalize or something pedophilia. So there was some language that was a little bit like, what the hell? What does this mean?
Is there any explanation to where pedophilia even comes? Why some people would be sexually attracted to children? I've never understood where that even would come from.
Why are people sexually attracted to a tree or a car or an animal?
A lot of things can go wrong in the human brain.
Yeah.
I guess.
Very wrong.
Wouldn't you know it's wrong, though? You know, wait a minute. Why am I thinking this?
I don't know if they've got any self-control or
maybe not.
Well, why do people
impulse control?
Why are people serial killers? There's just a lot.
I know.
Yeah. There's a lot about the human brain that we don't know.
Boy, you got that right. There's no question about that. But I just...
Now, here we go. What it was the original statute here said sexual orientation means having or being perceived as having an emotional, et cetera, et cetera. Sexual orientation does not include a physical or sexual attachment to children by an adult. That part was struck, which means... physical or sexual attachment to children by an adult would be considered a sexual orientation. So it would have the protections of a sexual orientation.
Well, that's not a good idea.
See, that's, I think, where people get upset.
But you said they amended it. I'm hoping that's true. Jude, be quiet.
Jude's snoring up a storm.
Judy.
He's out. He's out like a light. Yeah, I just don't know why they would have to even think about that as being a law. It's illegal. Don't do it.
You wonder, doesn't it?
Can't we just go that far? It's illegal.
It's one of those things that they just can't suppress it forever, apparently. Some people can and some people can't. I don't know.
Well, it's still illegal.
And I don't know if there's anything that they can do to help them not... be attracted to children.
I don't think so, not really.
That's a very sad story.
No, I mean, we can't even make people stop hallucinating and things like that. So,
yeah.
Well, you can if you drug them up so much that they can't even function.
Oh, but even then, it doesn't work 100%.
That's true.
It makes it better, but it's, you know, they're still going to have delusions and psychoses and stuff. And, you know, a lot of them don't even think it's worth it, the amount of side effects these drugs have. So if we can't do something like that, then something even more subtle is going to take even more time.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah,
but
for as smart as we are, we're still pretty dumb about the brain.
Yeah, we have very little information about how the brain works.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
So anything good in the news this morning? I'm just kind of looking around for good stories. A lot of negativity about politics and how everybody should go to prison. And
so same story, different day.
Same story, different day. That some people think Biden should go to prison. Some people think that Trump should go to prison. And then the third group thinks they both should go to prison. So there you go. What do you think?
I don't think anything's ever going to change.
Nothing's ever going to change.
Mm-hmm. I just don't really understand the whole situation. That's, you know, whatever. Oh my God, who is going to win the presidential election? You want to bet? And they're showing donkey? It's a jackass. Isn't that a donkey? That's the
donkey Democratic? Is Democrats. Democrats. Elephant is Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I remember my sister came up with I just wanted to point something out to you. I'll hug your elephant if you kiss my ass. I'm like, really?
Funny.
Is that how far it's gotten? Really? Is that what it's all about?
Creepy.
How did they become elephant and jackass? How did that happen?
Oh, that's a good question.
I've heard that it was like some ancient Democrat politician got called a jackass, and so he started using the jackass as his symbol. I don't know how the elephant came along.
Maybe just because they had to grab something.
Just picked a random animal.
Is it a we're bigger than you thing? Is that what that might be all about?
I doubt it.
I have no idea what the hell that's all about. If you're among the millions of Americans who follow the presidential race, then perhaps you can turn your political obsession into a tidy profit by betting on this year's outcome. Would you ever bet on an outcome of an election?
No.
No, not
I am
happen.
Absolutely horrible at voting for the person that wins.
You're not.
Well, then you just bet against yourself and you win every time. Yeah. So.
Well, I generally bet for the third party, you know, or the person that's definitely not going to win just because I don't usually like the candidates that are running and I don't want to give them my vote. So, I mean, it's pretty much my own fault. I've never been like a, yay, this person, really.
There it is. Now, this. There's a part of this next paragraph that doesn't make any sense to me. Predictit.org, a political futures website that allows participants to wager on political outcomes, on April 1st showed President Biden is a slight favorite over former President Donald Trump in the general election. That's the first time I've ever heard of that. And I'm not saying it's not true, but I have not heard that Biden's anywhere. I thought Trump was up on him like 2-3 points.
I don't know about that.
I mean, it depends on who you ask, of course.
Well, I suppose at 48 cents to 47 cents a share, respectively, those prices reflect a race that is within margin of error of many polls. And here's how it works. Users can bet a maximum of $850 on any single outcome. though a spokeswoman for Predictit says the average bet is about $100. You place your bet by purchasing shares, ranging in price from a penny to 99 cents, I guess, on the markets platform. Would you, do you think a lot of people would do that, will look up sites like that and bet on the election?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure every election, there's billions of dollars in betting going on.
So do you think a lot of it is the fact that this is such a close race? And some people say it's not close. Other people say this guy's up. Other people say that guy's up. You can't really find out what's true and who really is up, can you?
Pollsters famously lost a lot of their clout when they predicted a 99% chance for Hillary.
No, they did. That's right.
They basically said ahead of time, Hillary's going to win. There's absolutely no chance for Trump. And then she lost, and people were like, these people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Do they spin what they see? Can people not stop themselves from spinning information?
100%. Most polls are designed to shape public opinion, not reflect them.
Right.
If you think that everyone else is voting for someone, then you're more likely to vote for that person, too, because you don't want to vote for the losing team.
Exactly. Here's what I don't understand about the election, and I suppose both presidents, Biden now and Trump 4 years ago, would be involved in this, but I mean, why aren't we more focused on getting rid of $34 trillion in debt? What about that?
Because the platform is tax and spend.
Yep. Got to send money
mostly spend.
Send money to the voters, send money to Ukraine, send money to Israel, send money to the Middle East.
Well, you know.
Money's got to go everywhere in the whole world.
Sure. It's fun to spend money.
Yep.
Yeah, but the problem is,
and it makes a lot of people happy if you give them money. It makes them very, very happy, and they like you. Yeah. So it's just it's the easiest way to solve a problem is to it doesn't actually solve a problem. To abate a problem for a short period of time is to throw money at it.
Well, here's the argument I have. It's not your money to throw around. It's our money.
That's not how they view it.
Well, I don't care how they view it. It's true. It's our money. You should not be allowed to throw it around however you wish to buy votes.
Well, they don't care. Government's growing at that's the fastest growing sector.
Oh, God, I suppose.
Is the government. It's growing and growing and growing for jobs and budgets. So it's just, it's a free-for-all because there's no checks and balances anymore.
Well, and the thing about it is it may have happened in the past, I don't know, but I don't ever remember politics being this filthy. I mean, I've seen it be filthy, but this is way over the top.
Don't you think social media has shined a light on
it? I think so. What do you think about that? What do you guys think about it in your age group?
What are we thinking about now?
You weren't listening to a word we said.
If politics is filthy.
Well, I mean,
it's always
a very
filthy.
Broad question.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, in your lifetime, do you think politics is filthier now than when 20 years ago?
Yes.
No.
Well, 20 years ago, they weren't even probably.
What's the thing?
About politics.
20 years ago,
yeah,
Alex was you were what, 15?
Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Politics isn't great.
But in the past 20 years, you know, 200 years ago, sure, you know,
not really.
Politicians were killing each other
look
all the time.
Freaking George Clinton, how his whole
Bill Clinton,
George Clinton from that band. What's his name?
Parliament,
great
Parliament,
band.
Funkadelic, whatever.
Parliament, Funkadelic.
You're mixing George Bush,
George
and Bill
Bush
Clinton.
And Bill Clinton. Yep, mixing them together to make George Clinton, who has the best mugshot of all time.
Yes, he does.
Anyway, Bill Clinton and all his drama
and how people still
disgusting.
Adore and worship him.
Yeah, it's just people are gross.
That's true.
But don't you think that's where all these attacks are coming from now? Because Bill Clinton, the fact that they went after him. It's going to have to be paid back someday, and it's being paid back right now. There's no question. The fact that Bill Clinton was banging everybody in sight. Everybody knows that. But, I mean, let's look back throughout history. They all did it. I mean, they finally admitted that Abraham Lincoln was gay, and why, I don't know, really understand why people weren't allowed to think that or know that before. If he was gay, he's gay. Who gives a rat's ass? I mean, he slept in a single bed with a guy for 4 years. It wasn't too hard to figure out, is it?
Yeah. Well, what? it was illegal. And
it was illegal.
People were
that's
shot
true.
For that kind of thing. So
that is very true. It was illegal, but I still just in my view, what's going on with Biden now, what's going on with Trump now, goes all the way back to going after Bill Clinton. Oh, you went after our guy 25 years ago. Well, now we're going after your guy.
You know what they say about payback.
It's true.
Yep.
It's absolutely true. It's really unfortunate that is what happens, but you know, it's, I guess you got your guy and you want your guy to win and whatever.
Well, as soon as they impeached Trump for the second time, I was like, well, Genie is now out of the bottle. They're going to be doing this every opportunity they get.
Yeah, for the rest of time.
And they've been trying to impeach Biden ever since he got into office.
Yep.
And if they ever get a big enough majority in the House, they will.
Yeah.
And
well, if you think
then
about
the next
it,
president, whoever that is, he'll get impeached over and over as well, or people will try to impeach him. Everyone's constantly going to be impeaching everyone until, I don't know, probably the everyone alive right now is dead.
Well, like I said, if you think about it, it's everything's about control. And if you're hammering somebody with impeachment inquiries and hearings and all that kind of stuff, then they can't do their job, which you don't want them to do anyway, because their policies aren't following what you say that they should be. They're, it's not about the will of the people. The people elect somebody because they want their policies. So the other politicians are like, nope, can't have that. Can't have the people deciding what they want. We still are superior in every way because we raised $40 billion and got elected.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, it's just all just, the whole thing's just kind of a stupid thing. I really
do. To me it is, yes.
Yeah, I really do think that there everything like this should just be under a committee that is like definitely all super left wing, super right wing people, and some people in the middle. And they're the ones that have to duke it out. And if they can't come up with an agreement, then nothing happens at all.
I know. I just, and I agree with you guys 100%. I just don't understand what it's all about. But it's, I do remember thinking when they went after Bill Clinton, I thought to myself, well, if you're on the opposing side, you ain't going to like what happens because they're never going to forget you did this.
Nope.
And they didn't. I mean, it took many, many years to get to it.
But I mean, when a president lies under oath, shouldn't they be impeached? I mean,
I understand
don't we want some standards for our politicians to follow? I mean, they aren't gods and they aren't kings. And they keep on saying that nobody's above the law. Well, definitely a president shouldn't be lying under oath.
I agree with you. But I will tell you, you go after them, they're going to come after you the first chance they get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, what does that show about politics?
Well,
that it's just 100%
filthy.
Theater and stupidity.
And
that's
it's filthy.
It
always has been filthy.
Yeah. So,
have they
made a
decision about the presidential immunity thing? I don't know if that ever went
anywhere.
No,
apparently Trump is in court and they're not letting him go to the other hearing about the presidential immunity, and they're not letting him go to his son's graduation party or graduation ceremony, and they're not letting him do something else because they're dredging up something that happened from 2016.
What?
That was settled. That Stormy Daniels.
Oh, that thing.
Oh, they're doing that again?
Yeah, he paid her off. She said in a book that they never had sex.
Right.
He paid her off. She went her own way. And now they're dredging this up from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't even make any sense. How do things that were settled in the courts be brought up and you're retried? I thought that, isn't that called double indemnity or
double
something?
Double jeopardy only applies double to criminal trials, not civil trials.
But they're taking things from civil and whatever the other lesser one is, and they're making them federal just for him so that they can, they really want him to go to federal prison.
Yes,
that's what they want. And they're gonna do whatever they can to do it.
How does that look to other countries, in your opinion, that we want, some of us want a former president to be put in prison?
I know.
Well, why do you think that we're in, you know, the mess that we're in? I mean, look at the world.
But I mean, look back at our, you can go over a list of our presidents and the things that they did, which aren't exactly above board. Most of them should have probably gone to prison, I would guess.
Maybe.
Who knows? I mean, whatever. I just really wish they'd calm down and stop with the hate. What good does it do, people your age and younger than you, to tune into television and watch these parties call each other filth and scum and all? How is that good for the youth of America?
They don't watch it.
Do they just avoid it completely?
Yeah, I don't think most of them are watching this.
Yeah, probably not. You think that's probably true, you guys?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, probably not watching it at all.
No.
So what are they watching, Alex? What should we watch?
Bluey, the half-hour special.
Yeah, people like
Bluey.
Bluey. They're very into Bluey.
I say watch Bluey.
Why doesn't Bluey run for president? I'd vote for Bluey.
She'd be great.
Well,
she's
only
seven, so yeah.
Well, she's Australian.
And Australian.
makes it
harder. Yeah, not an American citizen, and a dog, and fictional. Mm-hmm. All these things make it really difficult to run for president.
It does.
It's just too hard.
Yeah.
You know what's great about that, though? That Bluey, whether it's, you know, from somebody as young as Ethan to somebody as old as me, we could sit and watch that show, and we just, it's a very enjoyable show to watch.
It is. It's
not
a good
just
show.
For kids.
It's fantastic.
Don't it you is. Think?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really not great kids shows out there that we just kind of tolerate. I mean, there's a lot of shows that are fine. It's like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Ethan's super into that right now.
Yeah. He loves that. The old one, right?
Clubhouse is from 2006, I think.
Okay. I thought he was did the black and white. He loves.
Oh, he likes that one too. But Clubhouse is his favorite.
Which is interesting because you kids would not watch anything that was in black and white. You just wouldn't even look at it.
That's true. I never really liked black and white.
Yeah. But that's interesting.
But it's like the Clubhouse is, it's fine. It's a pretty bog standard kids show. It's like, oh, you know, there's this broken bridge. Which tool can we use to fix it? And then it shows a bunch of tools and they go, oh, we can use the hammer.
Yep.
Oh, Toodles. They have to call everybody say, oh, Toodles. And Ethan loves Toodles.
Oh, yeah, it's just a zippy little flying
like,
robot.
That's not the kind of show that any adult would ever watch without a kid around.
No.
But a lot of adults would watch Bluey. Because is just like, it's a good enough show that, you know, if you're a parent, even if your kids are all grown up and everything, you can relate to pretty much everything that happens in that show.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, do you think that part of it is because the family of Bluey is kind of a happy family?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's usually the case in children's shows.
And the dad is fun and makes up games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
the dad's very involved.
It's like how you wish that your family was.
Well, it's helpful that neither of them ever seem to go to work.
Every once in a while, the dad goes to work.
Every so often.
It's only 15 minutes.
It's
7 minutes. Seven or eight.
Oh, you're kidding. It's that short?
Yeah, it's very, very short.
And it deals with, like, real life things,
stuff.
You know, the mom's sister has a hard time getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. They deal with moving in the new one and how hard it is to say goodbye to people and, like, you know, looking at your baby and thinking, why is this baby crawling before my baby? Is there something wrong with my baby? Like, all these things.
Bum shuffle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just, it deals with things that you actually deal with as a family with young children.
It's real
rather
stuff.
Than most kids' shows are just like,
somebody over the head.
Dog is up on the top of the roof and we have to rescue it. Let's work together. Yeah, like kind of stuff.
Very patronizing. I mean, you could argue that Bluey isn't really a kids' show. Because it is dealing with such things. It's dealing with things that kids can't possibly comprehend. But they like the colors and they like the jokes and it's fun for them to watch.
Yeah, depending on. Yeah, I don't know. There's one episode that makes me cry every single time.
What
I mean, I cry
it?
A lot. What is it called? It's, I'm not going to remember what it's called. But it's about Bingo wants to stay the whole night in her own bed. She's like, I'm gonna be a big girl in my big girl bed all night long. And then Chili, the mom, is like, "You do what you need to do. We're here for you. If not, whatever you want to do." And then she has these like crazy dreams that she's like in outer space, and all these things are happening, and it's hilarious because like. You know, part of it, she and Bluey are, like, running on some planet, and they're actually, like, smashing their dad in the back with their feet.
Right. I love that stuff.
And, yeah, it's just really funny. But then at the end, Bingo's, like, crying and sad and alone on, like, this cold planet. And then all of a sudden she sees the sun, and her eyes, like, light up. And then she just jets to this sun and then is, like, where she wants to be. And in the dream, she's so happy, and she's actually with her mom.
Oh.
And it's like,
And the whole episode has very little dialogue.
Yeah, there's like, really not much.
Once she goes to sleep, I don't think anyone talks until the very end.
She asks, Bluey asks for water.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At some point, and the dad mumbles, well, Bluey is on the toilet at some point. The dad's singing 98 bottles of whatever on the wall.
Yep.
And that's kind of like, it. That's yeah, funny. There's not a lot of dialogue in that episode. It's a great episode. I can't remember what it's called.
I can't watch Dumbo when the take away Dumbo from his mother.
And his trunk
and
goes
away and she's
from her.
Cradling him in the trunk you know, through the jailhouse window. And they do that song about baby of mine.
I'm like, yeah.
I haven't seen Dumbo since I was, I don't know, eight.
Baby
it's great.
It's been a very long time.
It's on the do not watch list.
Yeah, correct. Okay, the episode of Bluey is called Sleepy Time.
Sleepy Time.
Oh, okay. It's funny. It's sweet. It's Fawn cries.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
It really is. And I don't know. And like, I think, because it plays into, you know, Sage still comes into our bed pretty much every night. And like, when I decided I don't care, because I'm like, why do I care? I'm only caring because people are like, oh, is he a good sleeper? Is he sleeping? Right. Asleep, sleep, sleep. That's all you hear about when you have a baby. Like, is he sleeping? Constantly. And it's like, oh, he needs to be an independent, good sleeper and stuff like that. And it's like, why? I don't get it. Why? Like, why can't my little kid want to be near me? I don't understand why it matters. So once I stopped caring, I was like, this is fantastic. He just comes into our bed.
Some people really can't sleep with like other things in the bed.
Yeah, but that's like, that's up to you to decide what works for you. But I feel like overall, constantly, is it a good sleeper? Is it a good baby? Does he sleep? Mm-hmm. Just constantly. And it's like, who cares?
Because
leave me alone.
The parent wants some sleep. Most likely. Yeah. And if you've got that kind of schedule where you have to be up at 5:30 in the morning to be to work by, you know, 8 and get everybody done and you're gone all day for 10 hours, it's a little bit different, I think, for some people.
Well, I just mean overall, like people are just too obsessed with children and sleeping on their own. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in many societies, there's, you know, 10 people in a 3-room place.
Exactly. So.
Like, nobody's ever sleeping alone.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for today, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Oh, toodles.